This is an audio summary for your AIL 80102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 20, Managing AI Risk by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. When Harvard professor and former chief technology officer of the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, LaTanya Sweeney, Googled her own name, she found something shocking: advertisements suggesting she had been arrested. She clicked one, paid to verify, and discovered what she already knew: it was false. Curious, she tested the same ad company with her colleague Adam Tanner's name and found no arrest suggestion. So she posed a hypothesis: were these ads appearing because of racial bias? After systematic testing, Sweeney found that searching for names like Lakeisha or Trevon triggered arrest-related ads 25% more often than names like Jill or Jack. This wasn't malice on Google's part. Instead, it was algorithmic. The company's systems promoted ads with higher click-through rates, and if searchers were more likely to click arrest ads for certain names, the algorithm dutifully amplified that pattern. This is the problem with prediction machines operating at scale. They find correlations in data, and if those correlations reflect society's existing prejudices, the AI doesn't consciously discriminate, it simply automates and amplifies what's already there. Discrimination isn't just a moral issue. It's a legal liability. Facebook learned this when economists Anya Lambrecht and Catherine Tucker showed that its ad placement algorithms created gender discrimination in job postings. The platform was less likely to show STEM jobs to women, but not because women weren't interested. Instead, Facebook's algorithm placed ads where return on investment was highest. Since younger women were a more valuable demographic to advertisers, showing them ads cost more. So when the algorithm optimizes for profit, it naturally shunts STEM job ads to men. This kind of unintentional discrimination might fall under what lawyers call disparate impact, a facially neutral procedure that systematically disadvantages a protected class. The New York City Fire Department learned this lesson the expensive way. An entrance exam with reading comprehension questions had no real connection to job performance, yet it caused Black and Hispanic applicants to score systematically lower. The eventual settlement cost $99 million. You don't need intent to be liable for discrimination. The challenge with AI discrimination is that prediction machines often operate as black boxes. Deep learning networks don't produce a simple formula you can audit line by line. To figure out whether your AI is discriminating, you have to examine the outputs. Do men get different results than women? Do people of different ethnicities receive different opportunities? If discrimination emerges, fixing it requires a bit of AI neuroscience. You hypothesize what might be driving the bias, feed the system different inputs to test that hypothesis, and compare the predictions. Once Lambrecht and Tucker understood that women saw fewer STEM ads because it cost less to show ads to men, they had a path forward. But the bigger lesson is this: the black box is not an excuse to ignore discrimination or avoid using AI where it matters. Humans discriminate too, often more than machines. The right response is to invest in auditing systems for bias and then working to reduce whatever discrimination you find. Beyond the immediate liability issue sits a strategic risk. Algorithmic discrimination emerges at the operational level, day-to-day prediction decisions, but it can ripple outward into strategic consequences. Showing STEM jobs primarily to men bolsters short-term ad performance, but creates longer-term reputation and legal risk. Leaders need to anticipate these systematic risks and build procedures to manage them. Now consider quality risks. Suppose you've been buying Google ads for years and observed a clear pattern. More ad spend correlates with more clicks and more sales. You decide to deploy an AI to predict whether a new ad will drive sales. The AI will happily report that yes, ads definitely lead to sales because that's the correlation in your historical data. But correlation is not causation. Maybe those sales would have happened anyway. Maybe customers would have found you through organic search results. eBay discovered this the hard way. In 2012, three eBay economists, Thomas Blake, Chris Nosko, and Steve Taidles, convinced the company to turn off all search advertising in one-third of the United States for an entire month. This was a massive experiment, given that eBay's ads showed a measured return on investment of over 4,000%. But when eBay ran the month-long test, the results were striking. Search ads had practically no impact on sales. The ROI was negative. customers were savvy enough to find eBay through organic search anyway. Yet for categories like attracting new users, ads did help. The lesson is that AI trained purely on correlation data can fall into the same traps as simple statistics. If you want to know whether advertising works, you need to think about what would happen without it. But your historical data doesn't contain that counterfactual. This is what the authors call an unknown known, a gap in data that AI systems can't reveal on their own. Only thoughtful humans can catch these traps by questioning whether the correlation makes causal sense. Security risks emerge when data is manipulated, and data comes in three forms: input, training data, and feedback. Consider input manipulation. Google's video classification algorithm was fooled by researchers who inserted random images for fractions of a second into videos. A human would never notice, but the computer recognized them. If a publisher needs to know what content they're uploading to match appropriate advertisers, this is a critical vulnerability. Machines are embedded in decision-making processes that actually matter. In healthcare, for example, an AI helping someone manage insulin intake could be lethally compromised if the system receives manipulated data about their glucose levels or medication history. The good news: manipulating prediction machines often requires knowing exactly which data points to alter, and that's not always obvious. A prediction might emerge from dozens of factors in combination. A single lie buried in a web of truth might not change anything, but identity is everything. If the prediction is personal, feeding the AI wrong identity data leads to disaster. This is why emerging technologies like heartbeat recognition, retinal scanning, and facial recognition are developing hand in hand with AI. There's a potential happy confluence where advanced identity verification safeguards personalized predictions from manipulation. But personalization has a flip side. Impersonal predictions face population-level risks. Ecologists know that homogeneous populations are vulnerable to disease. In farming, if every farmer in a region plants the same crop strain, they might all perform well individually, but a single disease or climate event could wipe out the entire region's harvest. The same dynamic threatens prediction machines. If every car on the road runs the same autonomous driving algorithm, individual vehicles are safer because the algorithm is proven. But if an attacker can manipulate that single algorithm, all vehicles fail simultaneously. That's a national security threat. Homogeneity improves individual results at the cost of systemic fragility. Encouraging diversity in prediction systems reduces this systemic risk, but requires sacrificing some performance. You're not using the best algorithm everywhere, you're using several good ones. There's also the trade-off of increased small failures due to lack of standardization. One way to mitigate systemic risk without sacrificing performance is untethering devices from the cloud. Prediction machines can be trained in centralized systems, but once trained, they can run locally on the device itself. This protects privacy and makes simultaneous attacks far more difficult. If the device doesn't phone home to a central server, a coordinated attack becomes dramatically harder. Training data faces another vulnerability: interrogation and imitation. Competitors can potentially observe inputs and outputs of your system and use them as training data for their own AI. The most famous example involves Microsoft and Google's search engine. Google's anti-spam team planted fake results for absurd search terms like "hiabpacag" that shouldn't otherwise exist. They then queried those terms from their home computers using Microsoft's Internet Explorer toolbar. Weeks later, those same fake results appeared in Bing search results, proving Microsoft was using the toolbar to copy Google search results as training data for Bing's algorithm. Microsoft wasn't learning to completely replicate Google's search engine. It was learning which search terms translated to clicks, using Google as a training data source. In 2016, computer science researchers showed that deep learning algorithms were particularly vulnerable to this kind of imitation. They reverse-engineered machine learning platforms, including Amazon Machine Learning, with as few as 650 to 4,000 queries. The vulnerability is inherent to deployment itself. Once your AI is performing in the world, its behaviors are effectively exposed and can be replicated. Even worse, once an attacker understands the machine, it becomes easier to manipulate. The positive side: Large-scale attacks on a prediction machine leave traces. You need to query it many times to understand it, and unusual volumes or patterns of queries should trigger red flags. Once you know an attack is coming, you can defend by blocking the attacker or preparing backup systems. Feedback manipulation presents a different threat. Malicious actors can deliberately feed your AI data that distorts the learning process. In March 2016, Microsoft launched Tay, an AI-powered Twitter chatbot trained to learn from real conversation. The concept was sound: expose the AI to casual, playful Twitter discourse and let it learn how to chat naturally. But Tay was naive. Within hours, Twitter users began deliberately testing the system's limits. Someone asked Tay whether it supported genocide, and Tay responded affirmatively. Soon Tay was spouting racist, misogynistic, and Nazi-sympathetic content. Microsoft pulled the plug. What made Tay so vulnerable? Most likely, the sheer volume of deliberately hostile training inputs overwhelmed the system's learning process. The experiment exposed a critical reality. Real-world machine learning operating in the wild will encounter people using it strategically, maliciously, and dishonestly. Your competitors or detractors might deliberately train your prediction machine to behave badly. So how do you manage all these risks? There is no perfect solution. You can never eliminate all of them, but you can anticipate them. Be aware of how your predictions differ across groups of people and whether they create disparate impact. Question whether correlations in your data reflect actual causal relationships or just noise. Balance the trade-off between system-wide robustness and individual-level performance. Sometimes you need diversity, even if it costs efficiency. And watch for attackers trying to copy or corrupt your systems. The six major risk categories: discrimination, quality, input manipulation, systemic vulnerability, interrogation, and feedback poisoning, need organizational procedures and thoughtful human judgment to manage. The deployment of AI requires ongoing investment in understanding these risks and building safeguards. The black box of artificial intelligence is not a license to operate in the dark.